All right, I just want to share a little something about just about heaven in general. There's a lot of misconceptions about heaven, and this concept of going to heaven one day, or that like even when Jesus came and he died on the cross so that we could go to heaven one day, or we can go to heaven after we die. That's so prevalent in the church today, to see something that Jesus provided, namely heaven, as something that we're going to receive in a day to come. But first of all, let me just point out this inconsistency that I think is of really utmost importance, and that's that when Jesus paid the price at the cross, that was 2,000 years ago. So just the concept by itself that Jesus would pay a price 2,000 years ago through his death that you now have to wait for, as the church says, after you die. So it's almost like after your death, you can now enter into heaven. You can now enter into some treasure that's laid up for you there in heaven sometime in the future, despite the fact that Jesus provided this 2,000 years ago. And I don't think that anybody would go for that if you went to a supermarket and you paid for your groceries and then the cashier tucked it behind the counter and said, oh, no, you can't have this though until after you die. It would be absurd to think that once a price is paid for something that you now have to wait for another designated time for some strange reason to actually enter into it. The way that it actually works though is at the point that Jesus provided what he did at the cross was the point that people could start entering into heaven. And I don't mean after you die someday or something. I mean, because obviously it's not your death that provides heaven. It's Jesus' death that provides heaven. And that's actually why in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that we have boldness. Now listen closely to this. It says we have boldness to enter the holiest through the blood of Jesus, through his flesh. And the word holiest there, sometimes we might just skim over that and say, oh, yeah, you know, because some people will say the holiest there when it said that we have boldness to enter the holiest in Hebrews chapter 10, that the holiest is talking about the presence of God, or the holiest is talking about having a relationship with God. But the word holiest, by the Bible's own definition, means heaven. It's just another word for heaven. And you could check me up on this. It's Hebrews chapter 9. I think it's verse 24. But it basically talks about how Jesus has entered into the holiest, but not the holiest that's made with hands, but into heaven itself. So the holiest is a word for heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that we have boldness to enter into heaven. Now, it's not talking about someday in the future. We have, present tense, boldness to enter the holiest, or to enter heaven. Not after you die someday, because that's a totally different topic, but after Jesus died. It's Jesus' death that allows us to enter the things of heaven, not our death. Our death doesn't qualify us all of a sudden to enter the things of heaven, but Jesus' death. And that's why it says that when Jesus died, through his blood, we now have boldness to enter into heaven. The veil, actually, in front of the holy place, the Holy of Holies, that veil actually represents Jesus' flesh. And Hebrews 10 says that. And when that veil was torn, making a way into the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies doesn't represent a relationship with God. The Holy of Holies represents heaven. And Jesus was literally making a way through his broken body, or you could say broken veil, because the veil is a representation of his body. Through his sacrifice, through his broken body, and through his blood, we have a way now to enter into the things of heaven. Again, not someday after we die, because our death does not consecrate for us, it does not reserve for us a place in heaven, but Jesus' death provided that. And we can enter into heaven now, as Hebrews 10 clearly states, right? That we have boldness to enter into heaven now. Now you may say, well, how can I enter into heaven? Heaven is above me, and that doesn't even make any sense, Pastor Mike. You're saying that I can enter into heaven right now because Jesus already died. But what does that even mean? How can I do that? Heaven is on the inside of us. When you get saved, Jesus did provide heaven at the cross and access to that. Or you could say the veil torn, which is Jesus, a representation of Jesus, provided a way into the holiest. Or again, if you speak it plainly, it's that Jesus provided a way into heaven. But that's why when we receive Jesus, he puts heaven on the inside of us. And heaven is able to manifest through us. We're able to partake of the glory that's on the inside of us. And that manifests through our body. And that's how we are able to walk in the things of heaven, enjoy the things of heaven, and that God's will can truly be done on this earth as it is in heaven. But we just think of heaven as something that's above us. Whereas when you first get saved, heaven gets put inside of you. A really good verse for this is Colossians 1:4. I have several, but Colossians 1:4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, verse 5, it says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Look at that. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So far, when we read this, the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, people are just picturing something that is laid up for them or stored up for them in heaven that they'll get one day when they die. But actually, look at the wording there. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, if you go to verse 27 now, this is the same chapter, same writer, same book, same context, same everything, right? Same chapter here, just verse 27. Now Paul says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, watch this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What did he say was laid up for us in heaven in verse 5? He says, this hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Then in the same exact chapter, he changed the wording and says, this hope is actually Christ in you. The riches of the glory of Christ, this hope that is laid up for you in heaven, is actually heaven inside of you. Furthermore, in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about in verse 3, the spiritual blessings. It says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, we may read that and say, well, okay, God's blessed me, because that's like, that's saying that as a matter of fact, right? He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing, but it's in heavenly places. So now it almost makes it sound irrelevant for right now. Oh, well, maybe I'll get those spiritual blessings later, because he says it's in heavenly places. But we don't realize that's talking about on the inside of us. Later on in the same chapter, in verse 18, it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. These spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places, he then goes on later in the chapter to again say that our inheritance is actually inside of us. We're not waiting for some inheritance that's off, you know, in the clouds someday after we die. Heaven's been put on the inside of us. Another great verse for this is Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. But specifically, the verse 21 says that the kingdom of God is within you. That when the kingdom of God is to come, you know, it's not going to be observable at first. When the kingdom of God, when Jesus first provides the kingdom of God, Jesus is just telling them, you know, it's not going to come and you're going to be able to see it at first. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is actually put on the inside of you when you first get saved. So it's true that there is something, there's an inheritance stored up for us in heaven. But for a born-again, New Testament believer, heaven is now on the inside of you. In the Old Testament, they received from heaven above them. That's why Jacob, for instance, in the Old Testament, saw a ladder extending up to heaven, above him. That's how they received in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we receive from on the inside of us because we're born again now. Our spirit's been made perfect on the inside of us, and now heaven's been put here. So you do have something stored up for you, a treasure stored up for you in heaven, but heaven has now come down low and lives on the inside of born-again believers. Another cool verse for this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, and I'm going to read this in the Young's Literal Translation, and the only reason why I'm reading this in the Young's Literal Translation is not because it just suits my purposes. I'm reading this in the Young's Literal simply because it actually keeps the original order of the Greek words. Most translations, they swap out the order for the Greek words here. And this translation in specific, in this verse, keeps the original order that the writer of Hebrews originally wrote it in. Okay, so that's why I'm reading this. And again, I don't believe in reading a certain translation because it suits your purpose. I looked up the Greek order of these words, and it matches this translation. So that's why I'm reading it here. Paul just says, I'm going to read the latter part of it. It says, knowing that you have in yourselves a better substance in the heavens. You see that? He says, he's talking to these believers and saying, you know that you have a better possession, that you have in yourselves a better possession in the heavens. He uses in yourself and in the heavens back-to-back synonymous. Most translations get that wrong, and they flip the words around to say that, oh, you know in yourself that you have a better possession in heaven. But he's not talking about that. What he's saying is, you know that you have in yourself, stored up in yourself, a better possession than all these earthly things. You have a better possession in yourself in heaven. Heaven's been put on the inside of us. And the one last thing I'll give you, just to wrap this up, I won't even read it. He starts talking about that. It says he starts talking about Mount Zion, which Mount Zion in the Bible is another term for heaven. Mount Zion. Actually, the word mountain in the Bible in general means heaven. And you know he's talking about heaven here in verse 22, Hebrews 12:22, because he says, "You have come unto Mount Zion," and then he says, "the heavenly Jerusalem." So you know he's talking about heaven here. And then he goes on. Listen very closely to this. He goes on to list all the citizens, all those who are a part of heaven, of the heavenly Jerusalem, of Mount Zion. He names God, he names Jesus, he names an innumerable company of angels, right? All these people that are of heaven. And you know what else he names? He names your spirit. Your spirit is the part of you that's on the inside of your body. And I've been saying this whole time, right? The heaven's on the inside of you. Well, isn't it just, quote unquote, coincidental that the part of you that he would name that is a part of Mount Zion, the part of you that he would say is a part of heaven right now, is your spirit? He doesn't say, if you read this for yourself, he doesn't say that that your body right now is a part of heaven, because your body's still kind of growing in this, but your spirit inside of you right now is a part presently of Mount Zion. It is already heavenly. It's already perfect. It's already complete. Again, all this to say, you have heaven in you. Your spirit is heavenly now. Heaven has already come down low. All the high heavens are now inside your body, and now this makes sense out of the fact that we can boldly enter the things of heaven, or as we said in the beginning of this, the holiest, right? If the holiest is heaven, and he says that we have boldness to enter into the holiest, it makes sense out of this now, because now it's not saying, well, one day after you die, you can go to heaven and you can enjoy all those things, and won't heaven be great? You know what? It's really improper to just say, won't heaven be great, as in future tense. You should rather just say, isn't heaven great? Because you have heaven. You're in possession of a better substance in yourselves in the heavens. Heaven is on the inside of you, not just something outside of you, you know, where the Lord lives or something, but it's also inside of you by his Holy Spirit. Your spirit is a part of Mount Zion right now, and that's why it makes sense that we can enter the things of heaven. That's why it makes sense the will of God can be done perfectly in our lives as well, because it's stored up right here with us, right? We are not just waiting for some heavenly home someday. We carry home with us every single day as born-again believers.
If we were able to show you something about Jesus today, subscribe and share this with someone else so we can get this awesome truth out to the world.